Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Buffalo Plus Podcasts. Please make sure to like, to comment, to subscribe. We appreciate it. Any chance you get, tell somebody about this podcast. Remember, the morning after every Bills game. Mike Catalano, along with Dan Fates. Dan, let's explain
Happy
to everybody. Yes, where we are at the moment.
We are driving back.
We are driving back from Detroit. And if you don't know this, the way to drive back to Western New York from Detroit, if you can, is to go through the wonderful country of Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Yes.
And maybe if you stay till the end, there's the good story of how we got in back into the States.
Yes. We can tell that one. Let's certainly now tell the story of what happened in this game. So let's put it bluntly. Bills were in trouble. They needed to get bailed out. And I think their two biggest stars, certainly their biggest star and their other big star on offense, just bailed them out of this game.
Yeah, it's just one of those times where Josh Allen just looked at Stephon Diggs and said, you know, we talk a lot about times that Josh forces things. He had to force the ball to Stephon Diggs. It was just one of those scenarios where those two guys were bigger than their 1/11th. And they needed to play like it. They played like stars in big moments because it wasn't pretty. We can get to all that. We can break down where they are and how we see this team moving forward. But that was just a game you just had to figure out how to get a win.
So let's go to the moment where the Bills are down in the game in the fourth. And they have the ball at their own 10-yard line. And it is loud in Ford Field.
Very.
So you're on the field. Tell everybody what the atmosphere was like in that game at that moment on the road against a hungry, young team that thinks they're getting better.
Yeah.
What was that like at that
point? I thought it was a great atmosphere. I probably a top 10 game that I've ever been in the sense of Lions had won three in a row, had the Bills up against the ropes. I think the crowd was over 66,000. It was one of their biggest crowds. It was the biggest crowd they've had since 2011. And it wasn't a ton of Bills fans. Like, it was a hostile environment that the Bills were backed up in. And I kept tweeting, like, this place is loud. And then another play would go by and go, it's getting louder. Like, it was just that type of atmosphere.
Yeah. So they get the ball deep in their own territory. And Josh had some struggles. You know, Tony Romo, I guess, kept talking about the injury to the elbow and all those things. And then he made a play that I don't want to see forgotten. But on that drive, he threw a beautiful ball down, I guess it would be the right sideline, to Dawson Knox. He dropped it in the bucket there. Knox made a play. I thought that was a huge play for them offensively.
And it just, again, shows, like you talk about dropping the bucket, it's the touch and the feel that always – That I don't ever take for granted, because when Josh came into the league, he only had the fastball, that he didn't have that touch and feel and to be able to change the trajectory of his balls and to find throwing lanes. And it was a throw. And again, I think Knox only had two catches on the day, but that was a huge one.
Yeah, they needed Knox to help with blocking. Offensive line, obviously a big issue in this one. So they keep driving down the field, and they ran it a few times too. They were moving it. Allen ran the ball a few times. Then they got a call. The roughing the quarterback call, which was a big one for them at that time. What'd you think of the call?
I didn't see the call. So I went back to the throw because it was a throw on the sidelines to Stephon Diggs, who was ruled out of bounds.
Yeah.
So it was like right in front of my lap.
It was late. The defender was late, and he sort of tossed Josh over. I'll put it to you this way. In 2022, that's a roughing the passer call. I mean – go back
but
5 years plus.
Ron Jaworski would get suplexed.
He would. Poor Jaws. I can't believe he doesn't flinch even when the name Lawrence Taylor comes up. The things that used to get done to them. Now, I'm not doing this whole thing where these guys like put flags on them and it's whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's a tough game played by tough people. But I would say it wasn't the worst hit Josh has ever taken.
Yeah.
It was late, and you can't do that. They know it. He sort of flipped them over. So they get that call, and then they move down. But like you said, in the moment when he needs the touchdown, who's he go to?
Yeah, and it's if I'm the Lions, I also know he's going to him. But they were just on one of those connections and one of those same, vibes.
Yeah.
And they're also just so intense, both of them. A lot of frustration on the sidelines. A lot of questioning, not in a diva way or anything like that. Like, not that there were tempers flaring on the sidelines, but there was a lot of sense of, like, what is going on? Like, why can't we get a first down when we need one? Why can't, why isn't this passing game working? What are these things going? And you have Stephon Diggs, who's very intense. You have Josh Allen, who's intense. And it was just one of those things where it was like, they're just not going to stop us. We're going to tell you what's coming, and you still can't stop it.
Well, they didn't stop it. They scored the touchdown, and you're thinking, all right, Tyler Bass misses the extra point?
Was it a dome? Yeah, where he made 6 field goals 5 days earlier. I wasn't filming. Because I was shooting, the Stephon Diggs was just so fired up on the sidelines after the touchdown. He went right in front of Josh Allen, told him, "I told you, I got you." All these things, full on emotion coming out.
Yeah. So the emotion changes because now instead of it being a 4-point game, it's a 3-point game. Huge difference because automatically that adds or subtracts 30 yards that you have to worry about. I mean, once they get to the 40, you figure a team can – or 30, team can kick a field goal.
Yeah.
And so the Lions drive down. The Bills' defense tightens up enough, and they force the field goal. And he makes the field goal, looking like it was going to go wide. Who did you say you were looking at?
Poyer put his hands up. Poyer started to celebrate.
He thought he had missed it.
Yeah.
But he doesn't, so he makes it. So now we go back to it. Kick off to the Bills, 23 seconds left.
They kick it deep.
Look, let's say this. Nothing ever will replace the 13 seconds in Kansas City because it's different. And this was not against the Chiefs in a playoff game. And this was 23 seconds, not 13. But it should reinforce to everybody, it's never over. Like it's and the Bills got the ball, kicked it into the end zone. So you're thinking, all right. Are they going to take – yep, right away. You knew they were going to take a shot.
Yeah.
With all the issues they had, problems on the O-line.
I did have that thought for a second.
That they were going to just
– To kneel on it.
Yeah, or they were going to do something – look.
Conservative.
You can't throw a pick at midfield here.
That was what was going through my head.
Right. But you know what? You got Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. If you throw it short or take a knee, the Lions are going yes. Because they didn't do that.
Yeah.
They took a shot. And I think it's a – combination pass and catch that is one of the biggest regular season plays we've seen out of this group of Bills. I'm not saying this game is that big. I'm saying is in that moment when you can steal the game right there and win it. He hits Diggs. Diggs makes it was really good defense.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy hits him right as Diggs catches it. He holds onto it, hits the ground, calls the timeout. Like, it was a fantastic play.
Maybe, and again, at the time, the throw's coming down the field towards me. I thought it was a really good throw. I was like, wow, like what a big chunk play. That's exactly what they needed. And then I saw the reverse camera angle after the game, the camera angle from behind Josh. It's an unreal throw. It is a next level, maybe 3 people on the planet make that throw. Mahomes, Allen, and maybe Herbert.
Yeah, I'm stopping to put Herbert in any of these lists.
There's
Mahomes and Allen. I know Herbert can make some throws.
Yeah.
Until they start doing something, he doesn't earn his place there. He makes a bunch of throws in the darkness that is Charger games that end up just being – I'm talking about – you're right. Physically, he's got the arm to do
Correct.
It. But, like, these guys –
It was a top 5 throw of Josh Allen's career.
I got to tell you, look, right now Mahomes is the MVP. He is. He's played great. I think he's going to win it at the moment.
Yep.
Things can change. And we've had Josh chasing Mahomes over the last few years. Then it felt like they were about even. Mahomes is ahead of him a little bit. These last 2 drives,
big.
Mahomes-like for Allen.
Yeah.
And that's the gold standard.
Yeah.
It is. Mahomes has been that guy. He's been great. He did it to the Chargers the other day. So, puts him in position. Love that they had the timeouts. Think about it. They got to run. They started with 23 seconds. They were in field goal range basically off the pass.
Yep.
And then Josh gave him a better spot and a better spot.
Yeah.
And Bass.
Bass said they were in range after the Diggs catch.
Yeah.
He
felt like he could try it.
Yeah.
And then they got him in a better spot. They used him very, I thought, right away, don't throw it, run it. You've got the timeouts. And they did. And they got him in position. And I thought for Bass, who's been a really good kicker.
Yep.
To have that chance right after he had the miss on a field on an extra point to go knock it through, give him the win, that's huge for him too.
Yeah, redemption. I mean, your miss single-handedly almost could have lost the game. Your miss extra point, and but to be able to flush it, whether you talk about it, it's the expression of a golfer just kind of forgetting that swing, moving on. Josh always talks about it, 5 second rule, moving on. It's easier said than done. And for Bass in that situation, I think shows a lot about who he is as a kicker and how much his teammates can depend on him.
You know what I like, though? After the game, we got to talk to the coaches and players. And, Josh Allen was Josh after the game. He was asked about his injury. And he admitted he's hurt.
Yeah.
He said, nobody's 100%. He's not 100%. He's not close to it now. Hopefully, with a little bit of time, I'd like to see him limit his throwing in practice for a little while. I think they've done that. Sean McDermott said something I think is totally accurate. All the games are the same. They're just wins. We just pile them, you try to win them, right? Because he didn't show that extra emotion, did
totally.
He?
Totally. No, Mike, this is just another game. It's just like any of the other ones, eight before him.
Go on the Bills, whether it's Twitter or on their site, because they're allowed – obviously, it's the Bills photographers. Those guys do a great job. They're shooting video of the Bills postgame when Sean McDermott is talking to the team and handing out game balls and all that stuff. He is emotional. He is fired up. He's yelling about 2 games, 5 days, dealt with the snow. Like, you see Sean, he's always more like, all right, men. Good job, men. Way to come through. He does his clap and all. Not this one.
Yeah.
That was a filled with excitement, but also a bit of relief, and it just all came out. I thought it was kind of cool to see.
Well, and like I said, and obviously we'll get into some of the injuries, but just all of the other things, whether it was Von Miller going down, not having Mitch Morse, Deion Dawkins going down, all of those things – what do you always talk about, Mike? It's reasons, not excuses.
Yeah.
Like, they had a lot of reasons that they were struggling on offense. One of them's Ken Dorsey. We can get to that in a little bit. But just the fact of you found a way. And I think you've made a great point is where, we were recapping the game and things like that before we started recording. Was just the fact of, the hindsight wins.
I always think about this. You look back, right, especially this week, and you go, oh, my God, they didn't play great. They barely beat Detroit. They beat, the Browns, who are not a good team. Guess what? If they play great in Foxborough next week or then the Jets game and they win and they look great, nobody's going to care that they didn't look good in these games. You had to win the game. So when you look at the standings, you go, oh, that's a win. Yes, you want to play better. You need to play better if you're going to win and win in the playoffs. But it's a hindsight win. When you look back and you go, how many wins? Just like that Jets loss just stings more than any of them because it's a division loss. The Dolphins game stings. They had all those reasons to lose those games, but they still needed to find a way and they didn't get it done. These games aren't as important in the standings because they're not in the division.
Right.
But they needed the victories.
But it's funny, too, in hindsight, you're going to talk about that. Like, there'll be one or two things that you will stand out about the game. And you may forget other parts. Like, I think about the Miami game. I think of the Heat and them failing in the red zone. Like, that's just kind of where it is. This game, I'll think about Tyler Bass and Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. Like, I will forget about how difficult the offense looked when I look back at this game at the end of the season.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It ended up being a rough day. that ended with spectacular fashion on the last couple of drives to figure out a way to get it done. So all that was good. You mentioned the injuries. Let's talk about them a little bit. Look, they're playing without Von Miller now. He's going to be out for a while. We don't know yet. The initial reports were a sprained knee. I think they'd be thrilled if that's what it is, because that means he's coming back.
Correct.
This year. Maybe late in the year. I don't know. Sometimes they say 4 to 6. You just have to be careful. Hopefully that's the case. He's got to get the MRI. As we're recording this, you know, they're back in Buffalo. He'll get an MRI. They'll get the results. The doctors, at least from the reports, believe that's the case. They need him back for the playoffs. Yeah. They need to get Rousseau back on the field.
I think Ian Rapoport was saying that the team has hope that it is just a sprain. So there is encouraging news. And this is, you know, brought back a little bit of flashbacks to Thanksgiving of last year when we were leaving the stadium at the Superdome. We had heard the team is fearing the worst. About Trey White. And that his season was going to be over and he had torn his ACL. So just like what I always said when Josh Allen's injury came up and everybody's like, oh, no, I'm hearing this. Those reports from the team that kind of get sent out are usually when things are really bad. Is you hear, okay, this is happening. So for another sign of, hey, they're thinking it's just a sprain, they still have to do some more tests, is encouraging sign for me as we're sitting here recording this.
If people don't know, most of this information comes from the agents.
Yeah.
The national guys do a very good job. They're tied in with the agents. The agents, especially encouraging news. You know, if they got their guy, like, I'm not saying Von's agent is the one, but there's no reason for the Bills trainers or, you know, medical people to be saying this, but you see all of them get similar information. So they hope that's the case. Now, we're going to get back to some of the other stuff, but you mentioned Trey from a year ago. I think this was strange, but I understand it, but I've never seen it before. He was on a pitch count, and sometimes when you hear that, I thought, well, maybe he's only going to play every third series, and he's going to play. No, they got him out there for 2 series and got him off the field. And, Dan, I've never seen a team use a important, basically middle of the season, regular season game, use a roster spot, and know you're only going to play a player. He played 15 snaps.
Yeah, I love it.
And then they sat him down. That is stunning to me that they used a real game and a real roster spot. I understand why they did it because it's Trey White and they want him back.
Yeah,
but I've never seen
it.
A team do it.
We talk about there's only 53 guys that can dress. If you don't understand how important all 53 players are, I don't know how to have that conversation. But just there's not enough guys and everyone is so important. So to have a player and to activate him and to put him on the roster when he's only going to play 15 plays, I think is a little strange.
It is, but now again, they were nicked up in a bunch of other areas, and maybe their thought was, we can get Trey out there, get some snaps out of him, see where he is, and, you know, other guys.
They treated
would play
it like
more.
It was a preseason game.
They did. Now look, Dane Jackson played every snap, and he got tortured in the game.
Yep.
I mean, he really did. They picked on him. And it's funny, Benford is obviously their next choice. Elam is coming back from his injury. He played a limited amount, not as much.
Yeah.
But a healthy Trey White makes them all better. It just does. If he comes back and maybe next week, you know, he's can play more. Maybe he's up to half the game. I don't know what they maybe he's 35, 40 snaps. They don't want to just throw him out there for 70 snaps, but I think that would be a plus. I just have never seen a team do that in a regular season.
No, and I was been saying it for the last few weeks is that they needed Trey back for the emotional boost. That it's like you're
well,
you
they
are
got
gaining
some of that today.
And I think they did.
Yeah.
And I really do. Jordan Poyer talks about it after the game that he was glowing, that he goes, I can't believe it.
Because I think all the players knew exactly what the plan was.
Yes.
It wasn't like they were standing there going, why is Trey? Why isn't he on the field?
It wasn't a setback. This is what designed. But he said, you know, just so funny to be calling. He goes, he was so excited to be calling plays and being like, wow, 2-7's back. And I'm giving him checks. And he goes, that was awesome. So I think it did provide that boost. Again, I think if they were, you lose, you're already down 2 defensive ends. You lose Von. Numbers are important.
Yeah.
And every single game every single player has responsibilities, and they may be more than what you realize just sitting at home.
All right, reasons, not excuses. The offensive line was a mess. You got Mitch Morris out. So now you got Bates moving from guard to center. So now you're weaker at center. Though yep. Bates is tough, and he goes in there and plays. I heard him talking to the D-tackle. I'm trying to remember his name for the Lions afterward, and they met up in the tunnel. I was just happened to be standing there, and he goes, man, you're a big blah, blah, blah. And they were laughing. He goes, you were on me the whole game. And the other guy laughed. I mean, these are big human beings fighting each other the whole game. Bates is a tough player. I like him on the field. But again, he's not the center that Mitch Morris is.
Correct.
So then Greg Van Roten's going to play guard. Now you're worse at guard. You just are. That's dropping that position. And then Deion Dawkins goes out. So now David Questenberry is now your left tackle. Yep. So your best two linemen are Deion and Mitch.
And they're both out.
They're out. You are weaker.
You'd have two backups.
And your two weakest starters, I think, have been Spencer Brown and Roger Saffold. That's my opinion. I don't know what Pro Football Focus says. They were your only guys playing in their regular spot.
Yeah, for me, Saffold's been the most disappointing, and then a pretty large gap, and then I would say Spencer Brown. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah,
and I think they tried a few quick passes. They couldn't run the ball really all that successfully. Once Deion kind of went out, I think they kind of didn't really get too much going in the second half on the ground game besides Josh.
Yeah, it was interesting. Deion grabbed his helmet. I thought maybe he was going to come back. I tweeted it out that we saw him there, and then
he was in good spirits. He pulled me aside. I didn't tell you this, and he was pointing. I was filming him to get a shot of him, and he's pointing to something in the stand, saying, "Give me a paper. Give me a paper." I'm like, "What is he doing?"
Yeah,
I'm like, "Deion, you shouldn't be like talking to fans like it's the middle of this game." And it was the guy that's on the cart camera that rolls up and down the sidelines that is the TV broadcast. It's the main broadcast camera. And Deion then grabs me and goes, ask him why he has those papers. And they have papers, and they're the players' headshots.
Oh, yeah, because they don't know every player.
Right. So when the producer says, hey, I need a shot of Mitch Morris, the guy can look and say, where's Mitch Morris? Okay, he's ball guy, beard.
Well, especially when he's not in uniform.
Correct.
Right.
So it was – they're not, they don't have their numbers or anything like that. So he goes, so I told Deion that, and he's like, oh. So then Deion told like the trainer next to him, and they all had a good laugh. So again, seems like Deion's in good spirits. It wasn't like he didn't go back in the locker room. He
walking
stayed there.
Boot, right? We see a lot of walking boots.
That's
like a given.
Boots. Yes.
That's a given. It's like Matt Bove was in a walking boot.
Yes.
Channel 7. He's fine now.
Yeah, fine.
He's fine. He's coming back. So we don't know for next week which of that group is coming back. Now we're done with injuries. I want to highlight a few guys. Ed Oliver loves Thanksgiving.
Loves.
Was a beast out there, made big plays. Love Ed getting that press up the middle, especially when Vaughn's not in the game. Rousseau's not in the game. I mean,
they needed it.
Yeah.
Sean said it. I think Detroit has two really good tackles.
Yep.
And
their guards were out.
Their two starting guards were out. Yep. So you needed to get pressure up the middle. It has been something that, obviously teams always want to get, but this was a time where you talk about how Josh and Steph just had to step up. It was equally the same on the other side where you don't have Tremaine Edmonds, you don't have Von Miller. It's like somebody's got to step up.
And
you need to save these cornerbacks who are getting roasted. We need you to make some plays.
I love St. Brown.
He's a stud.
That kid is a player.
And he has Jared Goff throwing to him. Like this isn't some top 10 passing offense.
No.
It's Jared Goff.
He threw some nice balls today.
I agree. And I think he's a nice quarterback. But, man, get him with a real offense.
Oh, man. Love
stud.
That kid. I don't think Detroit's giving him up anytime soon. Okay, so in that case, if they can get some of these back, they're playing without Tremaine Edmonds. They absolutely missed him. I like A.J. Klein is a gamer. He's out there.
Yeah.
He's had limited practice.
Yeah.
He's on the team, made a couple of plays for them, had a tackle behind the line. But they missed some tackles in this game. They just missed them. And I think Damar Hamlin had one, again, along the sidelines when they ended up taking the lead. You got to make sure you don't give up that extra 15, 20 yards. You just got to get that guy out sooner. So They had to miss tackles. Sean talks about fundamentals. They haven't practiced. That does impact players. It
Agreed.
Absolutely does. But again, reasons, not excuses. They found a way to get it done. All right, so Dan, I want to ask you this now. We're looking at them and going, they're 8-3. They're
8-3. Don't have to apologize for it.
How do you feel about them at 8-3?
Not great. In the sense of, this is a team that used to instill fear in opposing defenses. And I know people are saying, well, Dan's an idiot. They average 28 points a game. It doesn't feel the same. And you can look at the box scores and say, okay, we're scoring points. What do you mean? We're winning right there. It doesn't feel the same. Watch the game. I know what Josh Allen's box, I know he finished with 330-something yards passing. It doesn't feel easy. There's nothing that has come easy with this offense for the last month plus.
Now, there's reasons for that. Issues with the offensive line and all. But I got to say, and this is not just like it's all, but Ken Dorsey's got to find another gear. He's got to find, you know, there's something about being that guy, the play caller. And there's one thing about the idea of the continuity. He's been a quarterback's coach. He's been there. Well, guess what? He wasn't calling the plays.
Nope.
And it's adjustments in a game. It's adjustments week to week. It's adjustments during the year when the defense seems to know what your tendencies are. You got to come up with something different to get guys open, to help Josh out a little bit more. I just haven't seen it.
No. And there had been – I talked about it. I did a vlog on the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel about it, like who's more to blame, because Josh seems to be forcing things. But I think he's forcing things, as we saw over the last 2 or 3 weeks, because there's nothing open. And Josh is not going to be this guy that wants to throw the ball away 15 times. He's still going to try and fit the ball into tight windows.
All right. Unfortunately, what about the red zone interception?
So this is another one, too. Like it's a slant to Stephon Diggs. And that has been something they have run all season long. And teams have figured it out the last 3 to 5 games. But they keep going to it. So, yeah, it's a great play that the pass is deflected and that a linebacker's right there for the interception. It's a kind of a fluky play. But the defense knew it was coming. And that's what's concerning to me. Because, Mike, to me, this offense doesn't have anything to hang their hat on. In the comparison I can say that to is when the Vikings beat the Bills. The Vikings, oh, they're 8-1, all these things. They are that Justin Jefferson catch. You can't depend on it week in and week out to be in a 4th-and-18 situation. So what you can depend on is short passing game, running the ball, screen games. But what do the Bills do out of any of those that are good? That's my fear.
Yeah, that's when I say that. So they have Josh Allen, who can bail you out at any moment. But you can't depend on that. It isn't. It's exhausting to him. They need something else. They can get that together. I mean, last year they were 7-6.
I agree.
They were struggling, and they found a way, and they ran it better. The line played better. And then Josh just – not every game but the Atlanta game. He was terrible in that Atlanta game.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, he got – well – and the New England game, but there was a reason. I mean, that was the game the wind was blowing.
Correct.
You know, and all that. And then he was great in the playoffs. So it can come. I don't feel great about the way they're playing. And take this for the way I mean it. I don't care at the moment how they're playing. Meaning, you got to win. You got to figure out a way to win. These last two games are the perfect example of that.
Yep.
If they play great the next 2 weeks, right, and you beat the Patriots and you beat the Jets and you look really good doing it, it's awesome. You know what else is good? That you won these two games. So in hindsight, those are two wins. Wouldn't they want that Jets and Dolphins game back? They could have, if not should have, won both of those. The Vikings game, they gave away. All three of their losses, they had absolutely every chance to win, and they didn't get it done. So they're still feeling that. That's why the Dolphins have the tiebreaker on them. That's why right now they're behind the Chiefs instead of even with them with the tiebreaker. So all the other stuff has to happen. But right now, these wins keep you alive for the division. Not that it would have been gone. But if you lost these two games, not that they were going to lose that Browns game. Even these, you cannot lose them.
Yeah.
They won them. Now they gotta get better. I want to see them play better, certainly.
Yeah.
When I say it doesn't matter, I tell you all the time, it's win or panic. That's the NFL.
Yep.
You know, everybody gets so excited, you know, when a team looks great. That's great. I made the example of the Cowboys. They choked away that Green Bay game. They're up 14 in the fourth quarter at home. People are crushing them. The next week they win 40-3. Now they're Super Bowl champs. Well, they look great, and they may be really good, but it's going to crush them that they lost that game to the Packers.
Yep.
Even if they would have just held on, that's what you got to do in the NFL. Find a way to win and then fix the problems. Yeah. So I'm not like looking at it like, oh, they're fine. No, they got to work on a lot of stuff. Yeah.
But I will say this, and, you know, good teams find a way to win.
Yep.
And today, for what seemingly felt like 55 minutes, nothing came easy. Nothing came easy to this Bills offense, and they found a way.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much on the backs of two guys, but that's sometimes what you need. Sometimes you need your studs to just step up and carry the team and say, guys, I gotcha.
Yep.
And that's what happened. So you chalk that up. You got two wins in 5 days in brutal circumstances. And you don't have to apologize to anybody for those games being, maybe when we look back, the box score being closer than what they were because they're W's.
Yep. And you know what? The Warriors can go into a game with a bunch of game plans, you know, and they're going to try to get this guy going and Draymond this. And guess what? They win the game because Steph and Clay just knock down ridiculous threes.
Yep.
Well, today, Allen and Diggs knocked down big threes for them.
That's a great point.
Yep. It's like everything else has gone wrong. How about we knock some shots in? And in this case, things were going wrong on the road, and the big guys came through. We always talk about the food. It's Thanksgiving Day. This is my third year of four going on Thanksgiving.
I tweeted at Commissioner Goodell. Yeah. I would like to spend next year with our families.
Yeah, we're a little done with Thanksgiving.
We're all good.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun, you know, for our Buffalo Plus family, but we got a lot of time together. We could take Thanksgiving off. So, Dallas, you guys know, if anybody knows me, despise the Cowboys, everything they're about. They are elite in the press box food spread. And on Thanksgiving, ridiculous. Jerry goes all in on
respect.
That. It was phenomenal. Phenomenal. Last year we were in New Orleans. It was lame. They don't do Thanksgiving. I don't want to get, this is a city known for its food. It was awful. And it was late. And Dan couldn't eat anything upstairs because it was getting too close to game time. And he actually had a boxed sandwich, crappy sandwich dinner for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Wasn't even turkey.
Nope. This year we got obviously Detroit knows how to do Thanksgiving. That was fine.
It was fine. It was like you know, a buffet turkey.
Buffet, yeah.
Like if you went, I don't know, if there's places that you go
or
some other
buffet.
Yeah, it was kind of one of the, and first of all, I like Detroit because the people are so nice.
Love Detroit.
People working in the stadium, so nice. And we were there twice.
Underrated city.
But Dan got to come up in the lofty heights of the press box and eat. They had pumpkin pie. Do you have any pumpkin pie?
No, I had pecan.
Oh, pecan. Yeah, I'm not a big pumpkin pie guy myself.
What about pecan?
Not really. If I'm going to go pie, it's going to
be apple. Yeah.
It's going to be apple. It's not my top of the list. But that was fine. But, you know, they did that. So that was fine. But it was nice.
It was nice.
That you were able to share in that because downstairs, nada, right?
Nada.
I mean, like.
Nothing.
There was coffee, right?
There was coffee.
That's great.
Yeah. And I think I still, remember when I came and I was like, hey, I got these donuts?
Yeah.
I think
you stole
that was,
those?
Yeah, I think those were for the CBS crew.
By the way, the two bags of chips that I grabbed that I brought to the, I think they were from what they were giving the Bills on the way out the door.
Yeah, I stole two more, so I got four.
Look at that. We're chip stealers. So, anyhow, anything else?
Should we do the story?
It's a tough one to tell because I don't want to sound like, all right, I'll tell it in a certain way. Dan and I are going.
It's a great story.
We're driving into the United States from Canada because we make this drive. And I'll say this. There's a big line. If you've ever been, you got to go through customs. I'm not going to use the actual terms because I don't want anybody to think this, but I relayed a message to Dan that I thought we could use the one lane.
Wholeheartedly.
Believed
Mike,
that it was good. And
Mike
in
was,
reality.
We were sitting there in what would have been 2 hours
right.
of crossing the
and
border.
And I am searching Google and I'm saying, hey,
we
can
do
this because of something I had.
Correct.
So we went, and we are, when I mean we are passing cars, hundreds.
It was at least 3/4 of a mile on this bridge that is just,
we're just
standstill.
Going by, and Dan is going, I wish there was somebody in front of me doing the same thing because we're the only ones doing it.
This lane, it was like they parted the Red Sea.
And we cruised through. So now what would have been a 2-hour wait, hey, we're right up in front of the line. We pull up, we hand our stuff to the very nice.
Yes.
Woman at the border, and she's not happy. And
what
she
Mike thought
us,
was incorrect.
What I thought was partially correct.
Correct.
The other part was not correct.
Yes.
And she very sweetly and directly
after threatening
us, made us pull over. The okay.
So here's
then,
the best. All right, yeah.
So then
this is the best part.
The guy who, if any of you know who Nick Sirianni is, the Eagles head coach, guy kind of looked like him except jacked and having his whole outfit on with the gun and the whole thing.
Right? Yeah, yeah,
he is not messing around. We get out of the vehicle. He tells us, don't bring your phones.
Bring your identification.
Says, bring your ID. It's fine. It's not like we're being, you know, we're not handcuffing us. And then he says to Dan,
leave your man purse.
And Dan's like, what? And he says,
leave your band purse. So I have a Lululemon
over the... Oh, it's a Lululemon?
Yeah, a little fanny pack, okay? All right? I used it as my daughter's diaper bag.
You don't understand. He said it with disdain.
I've never felt smaller as a man. Leave your
man purse. So now Dan feeling emotionally crippled.
As we're getting called into the principal's office
so
is what it feels like.
So we walked in. And it was a bunch of guys in there doing their job. Guy was super cool. We explained to him that we made an error. They were awesome. They were great.
They joked around that the Lions
are not an NFL team. Like, that was the fun part. And we ended up going through, which was nice.
Saving
they were very nice.
2 hours.
Yeah, not intentional. I would never do it again. And you are listening to this. Maybe you can figure it out. I am not thinking we got over on anything. We were stupid, and it was my fault. But I'm not the one who got told to leave my man purse in the car. It was spectacular.
Yeah, that was good. That one will live on.
That is an all-time moment. And especially the guy was like, total man, calling your thing the man purse.
Leave
was
everything
hilarious.
In there. And I was like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, kind of funny.
I thought that was worth sharing.
It was. I just don't want to make it seem like, then I'll get somebody from, like, you know, the feds coming after us.
Yeah.
2 countries coming after us.
Yeah.
Love Canada.
Honest mistake.
Love the people at the border. All nice. But, yeah.
We now know.
We now know. All right. That's going to do it for us. We appreciate you as we're driving through beautiful Canada on our way back to the United States of America. We appreciate you listening to us. Please make sure to rate us. Comment. Give us some comments on this. What do you think about Dan's man purse?
I was going to say, that was exactly what I was going to say.
And tell your friends about it because we have a little fun with this. That's going to do it for us. Hey, Foxborough next week. Huge game. And then the Jets after that. So 2 division games coming up. So we'll see what happens. For Dan the Man Purse, I'm Mike Catalana. Thanks for listening to Buffalo Plus, and we'll check you out the next time.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.